kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm here.
There's you are rulers. Here.
Yeah, I am, because I know what time this fucking show starts, and I'm here for it. And that can't be said for everybody who's supposed to be here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to shit on Jacob for the
next time. Also joining us right now is not Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Not Jacob. Do you want to introduce yourself? Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. He's not here. So how was your week?
It was fine. It was just a week. It existed.
Nothing special?
The girls are finally out of school. Number two had her birthday. We celebrated that all day Monday. And then...
Dark Mika say, God damn it, Bobby. Damn it, Bobby.
And, she went yesterday and got her first COVID vaccine. So...
Cool.
That's been the excitement for this week, is everybody's just like... rallying around number two, like, are you okay? Do you need anything? And she is soaking that shit up. As 14-year-olds are wont to do.
Man, it's not as much fun when Jacob's not here to shit on.
Yeah.
Should we just talk news?
Sure.
Cool. All right. A lot of news. Game Pass editions. We always love Game Pass editions. And there are a lot of Game Pass editions. May 18th, we got SnowRunner.
Okay.
You excited about that one?
Well, we own it, but I think it's great that other people who enjoy it might get to play it.
Indeed. May 20th, Cloud Gaming got Peggle 2 and Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking awesome.
Peggle 2 on the go sounds like the perfect match.
What a gift for Peggle 3.
Maybe 1 year.
I think PopCap only does premium shit now.
What have they done lately?
They have a couple mobile games, which is, like, I shouldn't bitch because they started off in mobile. Their original Plants vs. Zombies was mobile, but I miss them, like, going whole hog on things like Peggle and just relaxing arcadey shit. I guess, though, maybe it's not fair to call Peggle relaxing since so many people had to fucking cheese the achievements on it.
I still haven't completed all of them.
I completed them legitimately on both platforms.
That's because you're a freak.
Yeah, I have skills.
Aki's like, you could play Peggle 1 and 2 on her profile.
No, I'm good.
You could play them on my profile.
I don't got time to play on other people's shit. I barely have time to play on my own shit. You know what my own backlog looks like? Every time I load up my Xbox, it's like, then I go to full library and it's just, please pick me. I'm like, I don't have time for any of y'all fucker.
And I know your backlog got bigger because of another Game Pass edition.
Mm-hmm.
The Wild at Heart.
Yes, I have that installed. That is my weekend. I will fight anybody who tries to interrupt me. I plan to start that immediately after the show. If you message me for the next 3 days, all you're getting back is a gif of somebody flipping you the bird.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's just the way it's going to be.
Hopefully no games come in the next few days.
Yeah. Better hope. Because all you're doing is getting the bird flipped at you.
Getting the bird.
It doesn't mean I don't want the game. It just means don't fucking ask me about it for the next 3 days.
Leading Magritte in chat saying, hey, can I interrupt? Yes, you may. What do you have to say to us? Also, Secret Neighbor on PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Root Beer said, play Round Guard. It's the same thing. And I did.
Did you complete Round Guard?
I did not complete it. I played the shit out of it, but I have not completed it.
Oh, she was just being silly. You wanted to interrupt your Wild at Heart time.
I don't have a GIF on Twitch of somebody flipping the bird, so I'll need you to send that to her on my behalf.
Sounds like our new emote is going to be the bird.
it'll have to be a bird because Twitch won't let you have the bird.
I know.
They are incredibly fickle about what they will and will not let you have. I once made an emote for somebody that said the forbidden S word, and we could not use that. And I once tried to do an emote of Captain America's ass, and they would not let me do that one either.
Yeah. Well, we got Norg's face and Grant's face, and that's what's mm-hmm. important. And pancakes.
Okay. Yeah.
May 21st, the Catch Carp and Coarse Fishing is hitting Game Pass.
Good.
You excited about that one?
Yeah, that was a pretty solid one. Not my favorite. It's hard to beat Dovetail Euro Fishing. That one's definitely like still my number one fishing sim. But the Catch is solid. I'm glad more people get to try it out.
That is good. Also joining is Knockout City is joining console and PC. And I am excited to check this one out. I enjoyed the beta when it was available, and I'm excited to jump into this and see what the full release is all about.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are looking forward to it, and I'm just over here like I haven't seen so much as a trailer since it was originally announced.
I know. They're doing nothing for this game. It's like they're expecting it to
marketing.
Fail.
Like, I guess they, what was it, Rocket Arena?
Yeah.
And it went shit. And so they're either just like, don't say anything about it. Nobody will play it. We won't have to worry about the servers being bad for the five people who do download it. Or they forgot they're releasing it and just didn't set up a marketing plan.
That is possible.
Yeah. So they're just like, Knockout, what's it?
Releasing when?
Oh, shit. We thought we delayed that.
Huh. I'll be damned.
Definitely.
Oh, man. May 25th, next week, we are getting Maneater.
I love Maneater.
Yeah, it is.
I thought you were
going to
say more
awesome
after
game.
That, and I waited for it. But I fucking love Maneater. I thought it was on Game Pass once before.
I don't know. It was on PlayStation Plus, I think.
But I fucking love Maneater, and I think everybody should play it.
Yeah, and it is joining everything, so console, PC, and cloud. Makes me wonder if there's going to be a Windows 10 stack, or is there a Windows 10 stack for it?
I don't know, but if there is, I'm going to be all over it. The achievements are kind of ass, if I remember correctly, but I'll get what I can,
yeah.
Just because I want to play it again.
Play it under my profile.
No.
Pancakes are empty carbs, 3 out of 10.
I don't like pancakes.
What?
Yeah, I don't.
What? Pancakes!
I
shame.
Not enjoy. Like, not only do I not enjoy them, I full on despise them. When
that
my
sucks. That's
family,
sad.
When my family goes, "Hey, are we having pancakes tomorrow?" I say, "Please God, no."
I like some good pancakes.
Yeah, I can't. I wish I could, but I don't.
Oh well. Waffles are good too.
Waffles are better than pancakes, but I still don't particularly like those either.
What about French toast?
I do like French toast.
All right.
And I like stuffed French toast with like fried apples and cream cheese and stuff in it. Oh, no, you got me there.
Just give me regular ass French toast. I'm good.
Simpleton.
Root beer likes crepes. Oh, look who the fuck joins up.
Woo! It's spring break!
Well, I'm not recapping any of the news we talked about.
What news?
Game Pass.
Oh, okay. I was just like, well, if you don't recap it, then how am I going to know what we haven't talked about?
Well, we're still talking Game Pass. We discussed what came out this week, and then we just mentioned that Maneater is hitting Game Pass next week.
Oh, here she comes. Look out, boy. She'll chew you up.
Why do you let him on this show?
Because he has stuff to do.
Stop that.
She's a man eater.
All right, joining May 27th, there are a lot of games joining Game Pass on the 27th. Conan Exiles is hitting cloud and console, and it is also getting Series X optimized. So that's cool.
Nice.
Fusion Frenzy and Joyride Turbo are joining cloud. More on-the-go gaming there. Slime Rancher is joining PC. Solasta Crown of the Magister is hitting PC. And Spellforce 3 Soul Harvest are hitting PC.
Okay.
all three of them. And then MechWarriors 5 Mercenaries is hitting console.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Big month for Game Pass.
I like when Game Pass has big months and we just get like this dump of incredible games.
Oh, yeah.
There's literally something for everybody in what was added this month.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there are games leaving Game Pass as well. A lot of big ones leaving as well. This is a couple of bummers here. Assetto Corsa is leaving cloud and console. Broforce is leaving PC. Surviving Mars and Void Bastards are leaving everything. And then both of the Kingdom Hearts games are leaving console.
I forgot Kingdom Hearts was in there.
Yep.
I completely forgot that they were even on Xbox. You said Kingdom Hearts, and I'm like, wait, were we talking about Game Pass? That's where my brain went. I was just like, gone.
Yeah.
What's the discount for those kind of games? Like 10%, you said?
10 to 20. It depends on the age of the game. The Kingdom Hearts should be 20%. Right.
I think DLC is usually 10, and most other stuff usually hits 20.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, like, because I was just like, I better go pick up Kingdom Hearts then. But then that I think they're usually on sale for like 30%, so it's like one of those wait out the sale things.
Yeah, just wait for a sale on it.
Yeah.
I mean, Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 Remix is totally worth the asking price, but 2.8 Final Chapter, wait for a sale definitely on that one. Because it's just not as much content.
I've never played any of them, so.
Oh, there you go. AT&T is set to spin off Warner Media, including parts of WB Games, and combine it with Discovery in a new standalone media company. WB Games is said to be splitting up between AT&T and this new entity, although there's no word on who's going where and what's going to happen there. But the WB Games saga continues.
That is such an odd turn of events from, hey, please buy it, to, never mind, we just chopped it into little pieces.
What I'm wondering is if with the Discovery stuff, I'm wondering if that'll lean more towards, like, educational simulator stuff, and, like, the one that stays with, like, WB will just be all in-house. Like, they'll handle all the DC comics, all the Mortal Kombat, like, all those kind of properties, Harry Potter, that kind of stuff.
No.
That's what I would figure. I don't know. I mean, at the same time, I fully admit I'm talking out of my ass on this one.
When are you talking out of your ass?
When I have my sphincter firmly clenched.
Okay. So Deep Silver announced the reformation of Free Radical Design with a number of original members to restart the Time Splitters franchise.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's sexy news.
Yeah, I am excited to see the return of Time Splitters. Hopefully they bring the first two back with like HD remakes or, better yet, a combo package of the two instead of milking it across two releases.
Okay, but what about Dead Island 2? Every time I hear Deep Silver, I'm like, I don't give a fuck about anything else they're doing if it's not Dead Island 2.
Deep Silver has like 900 fucking companies working under them.
And they still can't. Put out Dead Island 2.
I mean, Deep Silver, like, they have so many branches. They're not just Dead Island. But yeah, Dead Island's never coming. Stop getting your hopes up. You know what is coming, though? The third release of Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to be hitting Series X and S and PS5 on November 11th because it needs a third release. GTA Online standalone will be free on PS5 for 3 months. I'm guessing it'll be $20 or buy the game and get both GTA Online and the story mode, kind of like Red Dead 2 is.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I bought Grand Theft Auto 5 and I still have yet to play it on my Xbox One, so it's like,
well, now there's a third console you could buy it on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of interesting, though, that, I mean, like, this game has that much longevity that it spanned three consoles at this point. I don't know. I'm a little surprised that they're not, like, that they haven't said anything about working on a Grand Theft Auto 6, but maybe there's just enough with this that they don't need to. I mean,
I think GTA Online just ruined it for story mode. I don't think we're going to get a GTA 6 anytime soon because of GTA Online and how much people spend on it.
Well, that and also, the other thing is, like, the modding community for this thing is insane. Kotaku, I think it was them, posted a video of some dude who essentially, like, he's made, like, a Superman game in Grand Theft Auto 5, and you just watch it, like, it's obviously not Superman, you know, for trademark reasons, but, like, it's this dude in a cape just flying around, and he's punching helicopters. Like, it looks entertaining as all hell. Like, I'd love to, like, just go around and do that. And, I mean, the modding community has been insane for that game for years. Like,
There's just no modding on console, so the fact that it's getting released on console again does nothing for me. Unless they add mods to it, which I don't see them doing.
Maybe they will. Who knows? I doubt it. But.
Yeah. Some other news. Hades was rated for the PS4 in Korea, so it looks like that might finally be jumping to another console. Fingers crossed it hits Xbox. I know we haven't had anything from that company for ever, since Bastion.
Yeah.
Oof, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, we missed out on Pyre, we missed out on Transistor.
I will say, with as popular as Hades has been, they can't pull the whole "it's too expensive to port it" shtick. So what the fuck's their malfunction?
I don't know. Small team, or they just don't like Xbox.
Or maybe they're getting paid a lot to keep it exclusive or away from Xbox.
Maybe. I don't know. Speaking of Sony, Naughty Dog released a performance patch for The Last of Us Part 2 on the PS5, and people are raving about it. And it seems like they knocked it out of the park again. Naughty Dog, do they do any wrong at all? Good conversation. So glad I'm involving the two of you.
I was expecting Jacob to pull up the slack because I was Googling how many people worked on Hades. And the answer was 20, goddammit.
Expected me to pull up the slack on that. I mean, geez, I'm pulling up the slack for you all the time.
I don't think either of you are pulling anyone's slack. I don't know. That sounds gross.
Yeah, I really don't want Cole to pull my slack.
That sounds wrong. We shouldn't be talking about that.
Joe, you want to Naughty Dog slack later?
Naughty Dog, that performance patch, good stuff there.
Okay. Yeah, when you talk PlayStation and Naughty Dog, that's my opportunity to go and see how many people worked on Hades, because that's what I cared about more.
All right. Final Fantasy 14 will be launching its PS5 native version on May 25th. So PS5 owners will have a shiny new version of Final Fantasy 14 to play. Still no news on the Xbox version. Hopefully now that the PS5 version is done, they could put some resources into the Xbox version. They confirmed that it is happening, but due to the size of their team, they had to go with PS5 first.
Yeah.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, it'd be nice to see Series X get a fucking game one of these years. Any day, Square.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Saints Row the Third Remastered will be hitting Xbox Series X and PS5 on May 25th and will be a free upgrade for people who own the game on Xbox One and PS4.
Oh, rock on. That's pretty cool. Oh, wait. Saints Row the Third?
Yes, Remastered.
Oh, shit. I don't know if I own that.
It's got to be the remastered version. So if you own the original Saints Row the Third, you don't get anything here.
But if you own
the remastered, you get the remastered remaster for free.
I'm telling you that more and more my Xbox feels like a remaster machine and not a new console. I get that there's delays in games and stuff because of COVID and all that, but man, I really would like one just shake my world experience that's not a rehash of something we've been playing for the last two decades.
Yeah. Oh, damn, I do not own it.
Ah, you bitch. Snap. Like, you're going to have to get it. Yeah, one of the shining exclusives that Xbox has had is actually going multi-platform. They announced that the Falconeer Warrior Edition will be hitting Switch, PS4, and PS5 on August 5th. It'll be nice to see more people play that one.
I saw some of the footage of it actually hitting 60 FPS on the Switch, and I was shocked. It looked great.
It looks great on everything. It's just a really nice looking game.
It really is. I wish, like, I enjoyed it, but I'm not good at games that involve flight. There's something about the concept of flight in a game that just breaks my brain. And so, like, I was doing my best with it, but I was also just kind of like, I just want it to be pretty. And it was, and I was happy with that. So now when I see it on other, you know, platforms like the Switch, and it's still pretty, and I'm like, good job, guys. You did what you needed to do.
Carnage saying, if it hasn't been mentioned yet, the Scarlet Nexus demo is coming. And if you, quote, vacation in New Zealand, you can download it now.
I don't even know what that is.
Switching your console to New Zealand.
No. I knew that.
Oh, Scarlet Nexus? Scarlet Nexus.
Yeah, like, I completely forgot what that is.
RPG?
Oh, that's why. Answered that. Thanks. Bye. Next topic.
Jacob, any interest in Scarlet Nexus?
I don't even know what it is.
So. God, you people are fucking awful at this. Am I the only one who pays attention to these games when they get announced?
The RPG ones, yeah.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, it has a neat name. I'll give it that.
I can tell you everything we currently know about this year's Call of Duty.
You shoot people in it. Oh my god.
Dark Mika, how Cole novel. Does not fucking get Scarlet Nexus. Do you fucking understand me? I swear to God, Joe.
Is that a challenge? Do I hear a challenge?
It sounds like Cole's about to get a free copy of Scarlet Nexus.
It's funny you guys think we're getting it. That's hilarious.
That's a challenge.
Something that we might get is eventually Super Bomberman R Online is hitting Steam, PS4, and Switch on May 7th or 27th. With an Xbox version, quote, coming later. So, don't know when that's happening, but hopefully soon. It will have cross-play, which is cool.
Okay.
And, like, 64-player online. That's nuts.
Okay. You know what?
What?
Remember when the original Homefront came out, and it was, like, 24-player online, and we were like, oh! And it was crazy, and now you're like, 64 players, and I'm like, okay. And it just doesn't seem like as big a deal as it used to.
What was it? Was it Frontline Fuel of War that had 128 or something like that? Or was it 64? I forget. Like, it came out before Homefront. But, like, I remember getting that, like, I pre-ordered that game for Xbox 360. And the single-player campaign was pretty cool, but the online is what everyone was hyping at the time. And I went on there, and it was just a complete shit show. because I think it was like the first Xbox 360 multiplayer game that had numbers that big, and it was just you couldn't go anywhere without getting shot. It was just the worst time ever online. So it's just like ever since then, if I hear that it's going to be more than like 15 people in a game, then I'm just like, forget that. No. Like, that game honestly soured anything, like, multiplayer that big.
I don't know. I think that many people in Bomberman could be a lot of fun.
We'll have to test it out. I mean, when it comes out. I mean, there's a huge difference, obviously, between Bomberman and, you know, generic FPS game of the month.
True. Last bit of news I have is that Tencent has acquired 3.8% of Remedy.
Oh.
So Tencent dipping its toes into more companies.
How is Tencent not a monopoly when they got, like, their toes are in literally every company at this point?
Well, investing is different than owning.
Not by a whole lot, though, when you got that many.
I think it's because they don't have controlling stake in, like, anything. They just have a partial...
Yeah, they just throw money just at
like,
them.
They're just like, let's siphon off the top of every fucking gaming company possible.
I guess
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
It's working for them.
I mean, if I gave you, like, you know, if I gave you $10, I mean, to invest in your business, I would never see it again, first off. But ideally, you know, then I have, like, some money coming in and, like, you know, I'm like, every single time
you're making a sale, I theoretically would be making a sale, like making money off of that too. That's all that they're doing, except they'll actually see like their money. With you, I know I won't.
Yeah.
So
I'd be like, thanks for the donation. Get fucked.
He's bitch.
I mean, at least that conversation would have you saying thanks to me at the start of the sentence.
Yeah.
Instead of
getting fucked, I say thanks. Thank you when you leave.
I've stuck around silent, you know, pretending to, you know, that I've actually left. No, you don't.
So yeah, that's the news I have. Cole, anything on your end?
I can tell you everything about Call of Duty this year if you want to know.
Sure. Give it. What's...
We don't actually know shit. We just know that Sledgehammer is the one doing it, which was already speculation anyway. Although it's funny because I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant. Call of Duty rant.
All right, I'm checking out. I'll be back.
Sledgehammer was supposed to do...
Wait, Joe, don't leave me here.
No, I'm checking my phone. She's going on a Call of Duty rant.
Ah, shit.
You got to babysit.
Sledgehammer was supposed to do last year's Call of Duty, and it was such a broken mess that Activision pulled them off of it and made them do support work for Black Ops Cold War instead and rushed Cold War a year early.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Sledgehammer's relationship with Call of Duty, the only other ones that they were the lead studio on was Advanced Warfare and World War II. And it's pretty arguable that both of those are lackluster. Those are not what you think of when you think of Call of Duty being good.
So Cole, like, keep in mind, I've been out of Call of Duty for quite some time, like Xbox 360 thereabouts. So I remember back in the day, like it used to be like, oh, well, Treyarch makes it this year. And then I forget who Infinity the other company Ward. Was. Infinity Ward. Thank you. So it was like, you know, one would make it 1 year and then it would be the next, so on and so forth. So like, so how many companies at this point are like swapping out? Is that even still a thing?
So
wasn't it a 3 year cycle where it went Infinity Ward, after, Treyarch, Sledgehammer, Infinity Ward, Treyarch?
Yeah, there was a when Advanced Warfare came out, that was when they had flipped over into the 3 year cycle, and Sledgehammer was supposed to be every third year, Treyarch every third year, Infinity Ward every third year. And so they were going to cycle like that. Because previously it had been Infinity Ward 1 year, Treyarch the next. And so then they wanted to give them a little more development time because obviously
you still got to shit one out every year. So,
you know, yeah, they're absolutely not willing to let go of that. And I will say that Call of Duty has had an annual release every year on the dot since 2005.
Wow.
So they needed to give them that extra year to really, with the
breathing room.
Yeah, the changes in graphics and the scale. And of course, now everybody expects there to be the campaign, the co-op, and the multiplayer, and now Warzone as well. So they were supposed to be on that 3 year cycle, but then Sledgehammer did such a shit job that they pulled them off of it, stuck them as a support studio on Call of Duty Mobile, and then had Black Ops Cold War come out a year early. Well, and then now they will be responsible for this year's, unless they completely bungle it again and get pulled off at the last minute.
So you were saying Sledgehammer, like, arguably makes, like, the weakest of the entries?
Yeah, they're not known for making the strong like, titles.
Like, well, so why hasn't Activision, like, cleaned house?
Well, at this point, in the last year and a half, 2 years, the founders have left Sledgehammer and gone elsewhere, and they have rehired over 150 new team members and even opened a second studio in Toronto.
Jeez.
So they have had quite the overhaul. And I think basically what amounts to is that with the popularity of Warzone, Activision can't afford to let any studio fall apart. So they've basically just been
pumping money into it and hoping
money, you know,
it becomes too big to fail.
Yeah. propping up Sledgehammer to keep, just to keep it going. And they're hoping that this year maybe they see a turnaround and some return on investment from that.
But you were also mentioning like Warzone, like being thrown into the mix. Like, why? I mean, I just help me out on this one, just because, like, as I said, I've been really far removed. So Warzone's like the, it's just an online multiplayer only thing.
Warzone, like, is free to play, and right. It's a complement to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean,
but I guess Warzone has gotten so big that, since the Modern Warfare remaster, which Warzone was released to complement the Modern Warfare remaster. Basically, they wanted people to like buy into Call of Duty, buy a battle pass, and then go, well, shit, I might as well buy multiplayer too, since my stuff is crossed against the two games. So then Cold War come out, and they had to merge Cold War into Warzone as well. And now this new game will also funnel into Warzone.
So is that essentially taking over multiplayer for the Call of Duty?
Well, there's still a separate multiplayer that comes out with the premium title, but so, Warzone is a constant, and it all ties together.
Okay, so in all reality, there's at least... I mean, do they ever shut down the servers on these things?
No.
So there's ideally like what, 15, 16 different Call of Duty online multiplayer games going on?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's...
Every single studio that is under Activision
is working on it. I know about Call of Duty in some capacity.
I know Toys for Bob recently was basically decommissioned and recommissioned as a Call of Duty support studio.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think they said every studio that Activision lords over is working on Call of Duty in some way, which is ridiculous because we are spending too much time talking about Call of Duty. So, Jacob, what news do you have?
Well, you said I wasn't talking about anything, so I figured I'd talk about the one thing I cared about right now.
It's true, and I helped Cole have an educational moment. You know, we actually learned something from Cole.
Now you all know goddamn much about Call of Duty. You're welcome.
Indeed. Speaking of, didn't the rumor say that Battlefield isn't going to have a campaign this year?
That sucks.
I don't know.
I thought that's what the rumors were saying, but I can't confirm any of that, obviously.
It's in the same boat as Call of Duty right now, and that we don't fucking have anything about it.
Yeah. Anyway.
And the downside with Battlefield is that, like, where Call of Duty is annual and consistent in its release pattern like that, and the dev cycle is like fucking clockwork to keep it flying, right? Battlefield's just like, well, we'll get to it when we fucking get to it. You'll just deal with that, right? So we don't have that. Like, we can speculate and probably hit the nail on the head quite a bit about Call of Duty, but I could start guessing about Battlefield, and I could be way off in left field.
All right. So, Jacob, news.
I only actually have one bit of news on my end, just because the news wasn't—I didn't find a lot of big news this week. So the only big thing for me is that the Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie—we now have a plot synopsis for this film, which has recently finished its filming in Toronto. So the plot synopsis is. After setting in Green Hills, Sonic is ready for more freedom, and Tom and Maddie agree to leave him home while they go on vacation. But no sooner are they gone than Dr. Robotnik comes back, this time with a new partner, Knuckles, in search for an emerald that has the power to both build and destroy civilizations. Sonic teams up with his own sidekick, Tails, and together they embark on a journey to find the emerald before it falls into the wrong hands.
Hmm.
So, and of course, with the pictures that we've already seen from the set, it looks like, obviously, Knuckles realizes that he's being duped by Robotnik, so we'll be having the three of them team up by the end of the film. Spoilers!
Oh, spoilers! How dare you? Son of a bee. Rupert's like, again with the Sonic movie news.
Hey, it was an enjoyable movie.
The first one was an enjoyable movie. I really enjoyed Mortal Kombat.
How would you know that you didn't enjoy the second one? Did you go into the future and you were like, ah, this one sucks?
I didn't comment on the second one. I just said the first one was good.
your sentence structure indicated
my sentence structure travel. Indicated nothing about the second film. You are inferring that on your own, and you're a dickhead.
You enjoy a good penis for lunch.
Yeah, long as it's baked. So we got refused to get to. Should we dive into these?
I suppose.
Cole, are you ready for reviews?
Yep.
Even though you're like fourth?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's standard.
First up tonight is Subnautica Below Zero, developed and published by Unknown Worlds Entertainment. Released May 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC for $29.99. Dive into a freezing underwater adventure on an alien planet. Below Zero, set 2 years after the original Subnautica, return to planet 4546B to uncover the truth behind a deadly cover-up, survive the harsh conditions by building habitats, crafting tools, and diving deeper into the world of Subnautica. Friend Serlina wrote in a review, this is what she's got to say, and this is going to be a longer one, so buckle up, folks. Hello, SML friends and fam, it's your girl Serlina with a second review this week. Shocker, this review is Subnautica Below Zero for Xbox One, developed and published by Unknown Worlds Entertainment. Subnautica Below Zero puts you back on planet 4546B. As the protagonist, Robin Ayu, willingly goes to this ridiculous, icy, waterlogged hellscape of a planet to find out more about the death of her sister, Samantha. Let me tell you, lovelies, if that didn't automatically hook you, this isn't the game for you. Also, this is going to be a long one, so TLDR, loved it. Let's get on to the review. All right, for those who don't know, Subnautica Below Zero is a fairly direct sequel to the original Subnautica that released in 2018, so this is an underwater survival game. If you aren't hip to this type of gameplay, you're mainly under the sea with Sebastian and all other sorts of marine flora, fauna, and alien carnivores that want nothing more than to have you pass through their digestive tract. You'll also have to manage resources as you must forge through the eventual watery grave to find the food, minerals, and tools that you need to survive. All caught up? Good. Let's talk about how this game is different from the original. The first major difference is that we have a relatable protagonist. In the original game, Riley Robinson, the previous protagonist, was nameless, faceless, and utterly boring. He was stranded on the planet by pure happenstance. Robin, on the other hand, is there on a mission. She knew the risks and took that leap of faith anyway. Plus, she's a woman of color, which makes me super happy, and well, to have another strong woman protag entered into the gaming Hall of Fame. And I'm not sure if devs know this, but it's always the little things about being a black woman and having that reflected in video games that touch me the most. For example, you can listen to a recording from Sam and she talks about how her wash and go isn't effective and how the cold is affecting her moisturizer. I almost cried because I live that life and it's really important that these little facts are reflected in the gaming culture. But I digress. Let's get back to the game. Still a gorgeous game. I can attest to that. I played it on Series X and it looks fucking amazing. This game is beautiful. Everything is vibrant and beautiful. Yes, you're on an alien world, but the environment still makes sense. If you've played the original, you'll have the feeling that as soon as you find your first creep vine, I know I did. I also really appreciated the details into bringing us new things to scan and interact with. Also, the level of creepy has been ramped up tremendously because of two additions. The first are coral bridges, and the second is glaciers. The coral bridges are lovely to behold, but they are creepy because of the way the light and shadows are underwater. You literally will have no clue what's on the other side or underneath the bridges. You might even mistake a bridge for something that you don't want to encounter while you're just starting out. The glaciers bring the creepy factor to a new level by introducing claustrophobia and air scarcity. Let me explain. In the original game, you had an issue with air, and you'll have that the same issue here. You could just swim to the surface, no harm, no foul. Yeah, you can't really do that in Below Zero because of the glaciers. While we're here frozen in part of 4546B, so glaciers do litter the sea, and while some parts do have cracks in them for you to rise, a lot don't. You'll be hoping you can find a spot to get precious air. On the claustrophobic side, there's ice above you, water and sea floor beneath you with largely no escape. This creates an intense atmosphere that I'm all for. Another thing I really liked is how unprepared you start out. You literally start with nothing. In the first game, I think you had a knife, your scanner, and emergency provisions. While in this one, your ship gets blown up real good and your drop pod contains nothing but an empty storage unit and a fabricator. As soon as I got to the drop pod, I was like, I need to find the bladder fish. It was go time and things got real, but your girl was ready to hunt. I do suggest staying in the shallows as much as possible until you have the materials needed to make a scanner, a flashlight, and a knife. The knife is super important, As it opens up so many other things you can collect and use. Don't believe me? Use the knife on some coral and see what you get. In addition to all of this, you have another stat to manage besides oxygen, food, health, and thirst. You must manage your temperature. It's cold out there, y'all, and the longer you stay in the cold, the quicker your temperature will drop. Stay out too long and it's bye-bye Robin, start over. There are a few things that help. Some of the logical flora or some of the local flora give off heat, and you can make a suit that'll regulate your temperature. Ironically enough, if you stay underwater, you don't have to worry about temperature, and I don't know how that makes sense, but whatever, we'll work with it. Now let's get to the things I feel needed some work. First, the movement is still janky. Keep in mind I'm playing on a console, and I know the PC experience would be much smoother in this regard, but it's an issue that needs to be addressed. Movement isn't hard, but the control is right out the window. This is most evident when you're swimming, but trying to get those tasty fish. They aren't going as fast as they were in the first game, but it's still infuriating navigating Robin to get to the right spot to grab them. Another thing we need to talk about is inventory management. Everything you pick up takes inventory space. It is 2021. There is absolutely no reason for us to be subject to these shenanigans. Let the titanium stack. Why do we not have stacks for minerals? Yes, I know I can build stuff, but I don't care. I want stacks for my stuff. Let me hoard in peace. I mean, come on. Even Animal Crossing lets you stack shit now. Animal Crossing does it. Let us stack things. I don't like seeing my seabed covered in little balls of minerals because I can't carry them all. I don't like having to build lockers specifically for certain minerals. This is stupid. Let me stack, please. Subnautica Below Zero is available on all platforms right now for $29.99, and should you buy it? Yes, you should buy it. Go buy it right now, without hesitation. The only way you won't enjoy this is if it isn't your type of game, which is fine, but I still recommend you buy it anyway. If there was a game out there that could change minds about survival games, this is the one. It has everything one would need or want in a survival game, including the ability to play with no pressure. Go explore, deep dive, find the things, love every second of it. All right. Cole, did you play this one at all or no?
No, I did not.
No?
No,
I didn't. Jacob, I would ask you, but I know you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, sorry. Mass Effect Legendary Edition came out, so I've been trying to woo Liara again.
Oh, well, you do have two games to talk about. The first one is Psychonauts, developed and published by Double Fine Productions. It just hit Xbox Game Pass and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. A psychic odyssey through the minds of misfits, monsters, and madmen. Jacob, tell us about your time with Psychonauts.
So I missed this game when it first came out. Like, I mean, I knew of it. Critics generally enjoyed it. But I know it was more of like a cult following game. And so, as I said, like, I missed it. I never really even knew what it was about until you asked me to review it for here. And this is a weird ass game. part of me doesn't even know where to begin with it. It feels like it was an action platformer made for people who grew up on like Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, but were turning into adults. And so, like, it also had, like, it was also, I mean, for people who grew up watching, like, Freakazoid and Monty Python and stuff like that. And it's just, yeah, it, like, there is a lot of dark humor in this thing. It is, all right, so pretty much you're this guy, Raz, who gets shoved into this, it's like a boot camp kind of thing. Although it's like labeled as this like, yay, fun summer camp for like enriched children kind of thing. And pretty much it's all just these kids who are going to learn how to use, their various abilities, like psychic abilities, to just fuck with like these people. Like they're essentially being trained, to, I don't even know if you want to call them like sleeper agents or whatever, but it's all these different kids, and like you run around and you talk to a bunch of them, and they all have different personalities. And like one kid is just like really creepy kid who ends up blowing up all these squirrels after you turn your back on them. And it's just like you initially like leave him, and he's just like, don't come anywhere near me. And like these squirrels are just like running around doing squirrel stuff. And then like you turn your back, and next thing you know, he's like, what? like you just hear this bang and he's like, what? And then like you walk away and all of a sudden like it just starts raining all these squirrel bits.
Oh Jesus.
So you have to move through, well, there's really like two parts to it. So the first part is the open world environment, which you're pretty much just running around, you're collecting arrowheads, and these like little wavy things. I don't know, but essentially they help level you up in different ways and you get, more powers as you level up, and complete more stuff. And then, there's the subconscious levels where you're going into these people's minds and you start off with your camp counselor, who is, he's dressed in like a 19 or in like a World War One, German, like Kaiser uniform. And he has a not so subtle, like almost Hitler mustache going on. And he's like, just like your insane camp counselor. And like, he's making you do all this various stuff. And you have to go through these levels, which, you know, for somebody who, as I said, like this is made for people who grew up with Spyro and Crash Bandicoot and stuff like that.
Yeah, this isn't a new game. This is an original Xbox game. So
right, it's not prettied up. It's not, you know, they have
it actually looks really fucking good on the Series X because of the backward compatibility and like the visual boost that the Series X and I believe even the One X give to these games, like super resolution boost and auto HDR. It just looks really, really good.
I mean, I don't have anything to compare it to. It looked like a normal original Xbox game for me, but it still looked really nice. And the style is very inventive and very much original. Like, there was definitely nothing like this at the time. And so it's just like you move through these levels and like it has the standard platformer stuff. Like it has like the rail sliding and stuff. Like you have to climb, you have to do the standard, like, you know, hop on bars and like swing to the next thing. Standard stuff as you move through all these levels. And you also have to figure out how to get past certain stuff, whether it's certain boss enemies or like minefields or guns, all this other kind of stuff. And the game is pretty frustrating at times. I think part of it is due to the fact that it's just, I mean, part of it's due to the technical limitations at the time. But I also kind of felt like the game was too grand for its own good. It has a hell of an idea and I would say it executes it pretty well most of the time. I mean, there are some parts that are really frustrating in terms of platforming because the camera is not always that great. But it's also a standard for the time camera, if that makes sense. It's really difficult. Yeah,
3D, it's just, 3D platformer cameras have never been.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, and I had to keep reminding myself that I'm playing a game that came out 15 years ago. Instead of something that just got released last week. So, that being said, it's a solid game. I'm really interested in finishing it.
It has me really excited for the sequel. Like, I haven't played this since the original Xbox, and firing it up because I have it on my original Xbox and firing it up on there. And even though I have like an HDMI output adapter for my original Xbox to give it crisper visuals, just the whatever magic Microsoft has in their emulator for the original Xbox games, visually this game is just so much better than it was. And
I was a little surprised that you can't edit how bright things get because I thought it was a little hard to see in some areas, and like be able to judge where I needed to jump, where I needed to be, that kind of stuff. But yeah, as you were just saying, I'm really excited for the sequel. I'm a little surprised that, you know, for something that has such a cult following, like the IP lay dormant for years. And I'm like a little surprised that there was never like any kind of like Adult Swim cartoon or like even just like little mini indie games to keep this thing going.
Well, but, maybe it'll see a resurgence. The sequel is due out any time now, really. It seems like it's been ready to go. Maybe it'll be a stealth drop at E3, or it's like, hey, it's available right now on Game Pass Ultimate. I could see it being one of those things, but Psychonauts, is it worth playing?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely worth playing. I wish I had picked this up when it was out originally, because it's definitely like one of the shining original Xbox titles. And so if it's not in your collection, but you have Game Pass, definitely check it out.
If you want to keep it, it's only $10.
Oh, hell, that's even better. But like the humor may not be for everyone. It may not be everyone's cup of tea, but it lends itself enough to separate it, you know, from everything else that's out there. And it'd be, you know, it goes to its own drummer. And I do appreciate that. And I highly recommend checking it out.
Cool. All right. Well, next game to talk about is Backworlds, developed by Logic Ember Limited, published by SkyMap Games. No Time for Games, dropping 150 biddies. Thank you so much for coming in and dropping the biddies, No Time. I'll start that over. Next game to talk about is Backworlds, developed by Logic Ember Limited, published by SkyMap Games. It released May 20th on the Switch for $9.99. Backworlds is a multidimensional puzzle platform game in which you explore by painting, solve environmental conundrums by using each world's physical properties to your advantage, and use your own creativity to craft original solutions to the game's puzzles. Jacob, tell us about your time with Backworlds.
So this was an interesting title. It launched last year on Steam. So, you know, this is the Nintendo Switch port of that. And you control this little character who I'm not exactly sure what it is. It looks like it's a snail. But I don't really know what it is, but it's just, you're moving in between, these two worlds that exist over each other. Now, other puzzle games have done this before. The one with all the different colors. I want to call it Fez, but that's not right. Crud.
I'm just going to let you sink or swim here.
Yeah, it begins with an F and I'm... No, it doesn't begin with an F. It's Hugh. Jeez. games like Hugh... did this before. I think there was also another one on 360. It was like Outland or something like that, where it's just like you're hopping in between worlds, and it's just like, you know, one world, you know, will have the object in it that you can that you can't get past, but if you switch over to the other one, you can get past it. That kind of stuff. So with that, you're using this paintbrush to paint the world around you. And of course, you know, you could swap to paint, you know, so you could swap it back and forth in between worlds and, use the other, joystick as, you know, as your paintbrush, which you can also change the size of the reticle to make it easier, for you to, you know, where you're going to paint and choose how to go about that. It's not, obviously it's, you know, this concept's been done before, but, the art for it looks beautiful enough that it's, you know, it works for what we're looking at. Now that being said, like, it is a giant open world puzzle game. And it just, there's a lot to it, and the game wants you to try to solve all the puzzles, but at the same time, because it drops you into this open world environment, if you're having issues with the puzzle, the game encourages you to just go somewhere else, you know, and maybe come back after you've solved a couple of other puzzles and apply what you've learned there, to the puzzle that's giving you an issue. Now that being said, the game stops holding your hand very early on, to the point where I had to go look up the menu to figure out, what the controls were for the game, because the game doesn't actually tell you. I mean, it does. I mean, because there's diagrams that provide, you know, that are in the background that try showing you what, like, here's a button combo that you could do, but it doesn't tell you what the button combo does. And it's just, these are like the most unhelpful signs of all time. So I had to go in and look up what all the controls were for the game. And I just really wish that the game held your hand for longer at the start so you could understand what exactly this paintbrush thing does, how it works with other stuff. Because even though the game encourages you to, you know, oh, well, if this is giving you issues, then, you know, go somewhere else. There were actually a couple of places where I couldn't go anywhere else because the blocks, you know, they would move in one direction, but then they wouldn't move in the other. Painting was no help. And the blocks ended up blocking any possible exits for the room that I was in. So it was just... It was a pretty frustrating game. It looks nice. There were a lot of puzzles where, yeah, I mean, after, you know, when I was able to leave and like go off and do other stuff, I was able to come back and sometimes solve the puzzle. But it's just more often than not, the game ends up feeling more frustrating. And like, it's just it didn't make me want to hang in there. To go solve other puzzles and figure out what the heck was going on with it.
No.
And I feel like the open world aspect of it, it's a neat idea for it, but I think it hurts it too much. Because also then, you know, it's like, yeah, there is a map that I have access to look at any time, but it's just... And then,
get halfway there and then sigh.
Well, because it's just like, I'm thinking about it, and it's just like, it seems like, because the thing is that I had to read other reviews to figure out whether, like, is this just me? Like, am I the only one having this issue? And the thing is, a lot of people enjoy this, and it's just, I don't know whether it's just, this is just a puzzle game that's not for me, or, like, am I just, you know, is it just like, is there just shit I'm just not seeing? Like, I don't know, it seems like it's, you know, it's an interesting puzzle game, but it's just, it's not my bag. Oh. I unfortunately did not enjoy my time with it, but that being said, I wouldn't dissuade others from trying it. I would give it a try it, if anything. Like, if there's a demo that you can get your hands on or play it over at a friend's house, by all means, give it a shot. But, this one was not for me.
All right. Cole, do you have any thoughts on this one? I know this one had your interest, but you were a bit too busy to grab this one yourself. Did you?
Yeah, I'm sad I missed out on it because I think it probably would have been more for me. Oh, well.
Yeah, I will also say this. I also felt that the controls weren't particularly intuitive with where to go with next. And I didn't feel like I also felt like the button layout. Which is initially set, and I will admit I didn't try to see if, you know, I could rearrange it in any way, shape, or form, but it's just the button layout never felt comfortable for me, and it actually caused my hands to fall asleep a couple of times while playing it, which is, so far is the only time that this has ever happened with a Nintendo Switch game. So, yeah, it was weird. So just... putting that part out there as well.
All right. Well, I guess that is it for you. We will let you get going.
Woo! Time to clap some alien cheeks.
Jesus Christ. Do you have any? I was going to ask if you had final words, but I think that was good enough.
Those were my final words.
Yeah.
Time to clap some alien cheeks.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Oh, man. All right. Next game to talk about is called Outbreak Endless Nightmares, developed and published by Dead Drop Studios, released May 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Outbreak Endless Nightmares twists the series' survival horror gameplay by adding elements of roguelike gameplay. You'll need to explore, hunt for supplies, uncover clues, and fight your way through each anomaly, each consisting of semi-procedurally generated instances where both the environment and the undead are out to kill you. Cole, tell us about your time with Outbreak Endless Nightmares.
Boy, is it really out to kill you. I have a long relationship with these Outbreak games. I've seen them come a long way and improve, and unfortunately with this one, I have seen it kind of slide back a little bit, primarily because this game has two options for controls, tank and modern tank. And I thought we had got through to Dead Drop Studios about my disdain for tank controls. But here we are. At least Modern Tank exists, but there's so little difference between it and Classic Tank that I was so frustrated with it. And it was really not my favorite Outbreak at that point. Hmm. And that's kind of a shame, because I think the concept of the game itself, the core idea here, is fucking awesome. The idea of mixing a roguelike dungeon crawler with survival horror and having it be this 3D environment that you actually explore and have to be concerned about traps and things like that. We just had a big ass conversation about games not breaking genre molds. What was it, Tuesday? Right?
Yeah.
And here's one that genuinely does it. Like, well done. Good job. The idea itself is so solid. The actual execution is a little rough around the edges. It does have the roguelike elements that it promises. It works out well. I lost my train of thought that fast. I saw Hockey said something in chat and I was like, what are you talking about? And lost it. It executes the roguelike element well. You start off in a nexus, you get to pick your character, and you're in this nexus and you're able to go into this big giant haunted ass looking house and pick up a little bit of gear, interact with certain elements, and then you get torpedoed into these anomaly situations. And this is where there are the zombies that you've got to take down. And this is where you'll find collectibles and coins that help progress the game. All of that is fine. But actually playing and navigating this house and these anomalies is kind of where it falls apart. And that's not just my hatred for tank controls coming into play. When you're actually in the game, you have the ability to change your camera on the fly. And I want to say kudos to that, because that's actually really well done. You can have the camera over the shoulder. You can have a tactical camera, which lets you actually look around the rooms before you go into them. You have a fixed camera, which will be in one point, which classic, you know, RE style. But then you also have first person. First person and tank controls together are just a really, really shitty way to play a game. I was so disappointed in just how the way you actually navigate and play didn't match up with what a cool fucking idea they had come up with. I think what Dead Drop really needs to do for this idea to pan out is to just let go of that need for Resident Evil nostalgia. I know that has been like at the core of Outbreak for them, and I understand that they love it, and that's fine. But I think that this idea could have really shined a lot brighter if they would have just ran with the idea instead of trying to shoehorn in all this nostalgia element to it.
So what would you do to improve the game? Because we know Dead Drop listens. We know you have their ear. You specifically, Dead Drop loves you. So,
and I felt so bad because, like, I was like, man, I just really, really want to love this one, because this is probably single-handedly their best idea. But it's just that trying to shoehorn in the nostalgic gameplay element is really what holds it back. If they would have approached this and said, okay, we're going to make this a full-on survival horror meets roguelike, but we're not going to have the attempts to pull in those Resident Evil elements. You could have still had like inventory management and stuff, but holding on to the fixed cameras or even though you can change the camera elements doesn't feel like you have that actual control to explore and look around and find things like you really want to do. I felt so limited in how I interacted that it pulled me out of what I was trying to do and how cool the concept itself was. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's my biggest thing about it. I'm just like, I just wish they had gone full throttle and gone, we're all in on, they could have done it third person. They could have done it first person. They could have kept the survival horror, because that's part of what makes it great. But the inventory management stuff, cause yeah, that can add stress. But if they had let go of those tank controls and the fixed cameras and just that trying to make it feel like old school Resident Evil.
I would even say on easier difficulties to just increase your inventory on when you're playing on easy, they are throwing items at you like crazy.
And you can't take any of them.
Because you already have 7 guns and an herb. And you don't know what to do. You don't want to get rid of the guns because you got to shoot zombies.
I would also argue that on easy, there should not be weapon degradation. That's another thing. Like, I don't mind it if you're playing on a higher difficulty, but on easy, you could just let that go.
And I don't even mind the weapon degradation on easy because there's so many guns laying around. It's like Breath of the Wild.
But still, it was just like, I felt pressured. Until I learned how to manage it a little better, I felt pressured to fix shit before I was just like, oh, never mind. I can just go get another one out of this box over here.
Yeah. I would love to see Outbreak go full action instead of survival horror. Like Resident Evil, when they went full action with Resident Evil 4, it just completely changed the genre. And I think Outbreak has a chance to do something similar to a lesser extent. But they have to drop the survival horror elements and just embrace the action a bit more.
Yeah. You know, I can understand why if you really love that nostalgia feeling of an old game like that, if that's how you grew up playing, you just want to stick with it. I can understand it. Yeah. But when you're trying to produce a game, sometimes you have to let go of the part that you love to make a game that's actually fun to play. And that's why I was so disappointed that I had to say anything bad about this game.
Well,
because it was so cool on paper.
$20, I need a verdict.
$20 is a harder price tag too. I'm gonna go with a try it if you are okay with that RE style vintage gameplay. Like there's people that love that shit. You have to be that person. And I'm just not, and that's okay. Maybe the next Outbreak game will not have tank controls, but I hope they consider maybe changing up their approach to it a little bit.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what they do next. No matter what, the games are always interesting.
I will say I was super impressed with the aesthetics. Like,
Visually, the games are getting so much better visually, especially on the Series X.
Yeah, every one is just a little better. Like, there was flickering lights and stuff, and it was what's the word I'm looking for? There was ambience to the room, right? Like, you walked into it, and it felt creepy when you walked into different rooms, and you felt like you were in danger, and that there were threats around, and that's good. And the designs, even though it was a roguelike and things were changing up, like, the rooms felt reasonable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, aesthetically, they've come a long way. And I'm not mad at any of that. It's just tank control's gotta go.
All right. Well, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Sure Footing, developed and published by Table Flip Games, released May 20th on Xbox One and Switch for $7.19. Interesting price. Sure Footing is a fast and frantic infinite runner about 4 friends saving their world from extinction. The world of Computra is under threat from the evil Ramathstar.
I don't know.
Ramathstar? and his ferocious minion, Deletion Dave, I like that one, who seeks to destroy the partitions that hold everything together. Cole, tell us about your time with Surefooting.
I think Deletion Dave is like a stand-in for defragging your hard drive, at which point that would make the running characters be corrupted files. I'm thinking about this way too hard.
Yes.
So, this is an endless runner. You are a little square pixel, and there's a couple of different ones. You can choose your character. It's male, there's female, there's a little tiny guy, there's a great big bulky guy. I don't remember any other names. They're kind of all just stand-in. So just there, they run. You can jump. You can have double jumps. You can have a couple of other different abilities. God damn it. It's another one I really wanted to like, because I like endless runners. I like that like 90% of the game is just done for me, and sometimes I just have to press jump. Okay? I'm not above it. And this just sometimes that's just what you want to do. And so I was on board for this one, but it's not quite as smooth and responsive as it could be. There were a lot of times where you would make a jump and you know for a fact you should have cleared it because you cleared that jump three times in a row, but the fourth one you just go flying into the abyss. And so I never could quite figure out what was going on that I was doing wrong, and the answer was I wasn't. The game's just not that pixel perfect, if you will, or responsive, I guess, maybe. But it was just, it wasn't me, unfortunately. I will admit when I'm the one fucking a game up, but when all I got to do is press jump, I should have my handle on that. And it wasn't always working like it was supposed to. And that's a shame. The concept of having Deletion Dave chasing after you, that's another one that kind of feels a little off because he's never quite a consistent speed. And he kind of rubber bands to catch up to you. So if you actually are doing well, which is hard to do because it doesn't want to always do what you tell it to. If you are actually doing well, then the little fucker just comes flying up out of nowhere and then he's on your ass. And one missed jump and that's it. You're done for. There's a couple of different game modes. You can play multiplayer. You can play single player. There's not really like a campaign. I was expecting more of a single player type of story experience, but there isn't one. There's the setup for one, but the actual gameplay is just like, okay, well, keep running these areas as many times as you can until you run enough to unlock another way to play. And then when you unlock the other way to play, it's just more of the same and just keep going over and over and over. The areas change. Sometimes they will even have you running from right to left instead of left to right. It gets creative, but visually all of the areas look the same. And there's not enough differentiation between what's in the foreground and what's in the background. So sometimes it can be a little hard to plan your jumps or plan your path because you think that something may be further back than it is, and then you hit your head on it and you fall down. So I would like to see a little more variation in what's in the background and what's in the foreground. Even if they just like lightened the background just a bit, just to let that foreground pop off more, because the whole game is very vibrant and neon. And it's a bit of an assault on the ice. But yeah, I feel like I'm ragging on everything and I'm being a bitch right now. But I'm not trying to.
If a game isn't as good as it could be, I mean, we have to be fair.
Yeah, I know.
What could they do to improve it besides the making things a bit more accurate and improving the collision?
I would have liked to have seen a more solid campaign. Like the idea of how you have to run from Deletion Dave and what's going on in this town of computer and everything. Like the building blocks for a really cool narrative's there, but then it's just all background noise. Like there's nothing that actually happens in the game to further progress the story any. I did also want to say I had an issue where things were constantly popping up over top of menus. So, like, if I would unlock an ability or something, it would pop up to tell me about that ability, but the screen would look super cluttered because it would be the pop-up for the ability, and then that was laying on top of the menu, which was on top of a character model, which was on top of a background, and it's like, I have no idea where my... Yeah, I have no idea where my eyes are supposed to go. Like, I can move around the menu that I can't see because there's a screen over top of it. It just needs a little bit of fine-tuning.
Well, as it stands for $7.19.
That is an odd price.
It is an odd price. I'm wondering if it's a mistake, if it's supposed to be like $7.99, but it's on sale.
I don't know, but you said it and I had to stop and be like, that one's weird.
Yeah, I'm looking at the store page, $7.19. That's what it says.
I don't know. Man, Endless Runners are kind of tough because they're kind of niche too. But I think it's okay for a try it, but go into it knowing that there's definitely some polish and stuff that needs to,
to
be fleshed out.
Pernell agrees because Root Beer with the 24 month resub.
Pernell agrees whether he knows it or not.
I know. Pernell's always here to agree with a good old
fucking yeah.
Right, Norg?
Wet pancakes!
I have too much fun with these sound clips.
Terrible.
I know. Next game to talk about is Rubisco Plus, developed by Viridino Studios, published by Rattle Lake Games. It released May 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $4.99. Help Ms. Rubisco to find the moon's lost stars and bring back the light in this cute but dangerous world. Cole, tell us about Rubisco Plus.
So you basically look at a little tiny rabbit character, and there are a series of levels with different obstacles. Some of them can be pretty mundane. You're just trying to go from point A to point B, and there might be some clouds in your way that kind of make it hard to see the world. They get increasingly more difficult. At one point, there were just onslaughts of sunshine cannons shooting things at me that I had to navigate. The difficulty ramps up. But it ramps up in a way that feels fair, and it feels like you're learning how to get through the levels. They're really creative and well done. I was surprised. I didn't expect it to be as difficult as it was. I went through like the first 15 or so levels really quickly. Like I was on 20 or so in the first 15 minutes, and then I hit a wall and I was like, I'm an idiot and don't know how to do this. I was really struggling with them, but it wasn't that it wasn't fair, it wasn't explained. It was just that I had got so used to doing it so quickly because I was blowing through it that I kept trying to blow through it quickly and fucking myself up, and timing was more of the essence, and I had not learned that lesson. And I was just like, go! I went to but yeah, I had a really, really good time with the game. I was pleasantly surprised with it. It looked adorable. It was a nice challenge. There's plenty of levels. And yeah,
100 levels in the game. That's nuts.
Yeah. Of course, if you want the achievements, you don't got to do them all. But I would recommend doing them all because they did a really good job in line and in designing these levels. They were really creative and the challenges were a lot of fun.
And I agree that it's very cute.
Yeah, it is adorable.
An adorable game. I love the visual style, just like doodles. I love it.
Yeah, it was funny because it definitely got number three's attention. And she's watching me and I'm going through it pretty quickly. And she's like, this is going to be great. I can play this one. And then it got really hard. And then she was watching and she was like,
son of a bitch.
I don't think I could play this one. I was like, okay, you can try. She's like, no, I'm good.
Well, it's only $5, so what do you say?
I would give it a fuck it. Why not? If it weren't for the fact that it's so well done, I think it just deserves a full-on buy it.
I agree. This is one of Rattle Lake's better ones. I really enjoyed this one. It's really cute. It's fun to play. It's adorable and it's cheap.
Yeah, I liked it.
All right, next up is Gut Whale, developed by Stuffed Wombat, published by Rattle Lake Games. Release May 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $4.99. Gut Whale is a finite action roguelike taking place in the belly of a beast. Mastering the challenges of this game will involve managing the space between you and your ammo while fighting your way through digestive system. Descend deep down into the gut, keep your ammo close, unlock weird hats, and get crushed by a van. Cole, that sounds like it encapsulates everything.
Listen, I have expectations with Rattle Acre games, okay? Let's just get that out of the way. I want quick, easy, painless achievements, mindless gameplay, and I just want to roll through it. Don't be coming at me and say, this is a Rattle Acre game, when it's really just a Exit the Gungeon clone. This game was hard. This made Exit the Gungeon look easy. There are 3 levels and I still can't beat level 3.
It is a tough one. I can agree with you on that.
So the concept is that you have a couple of lives depending on which hat you take before you go down into the well, right? You have a couple of lives and you have 1 bullet. All right? When you shoot a bullet, the bullet's gone. Can't shoot the bullet again till you pick a bullet back up. So you have to keep catching your bullet. If you want to get a combo, you got to capture the bullet before it hits the ground. No Time for Games is saying, is it an Enter the Gungeon? Enter the Gungeon is not what I am referencing. I am referencing the sequel Exit the Gungeon because it is vertical gameplay and Gut Whale is also vertical gameplay.
Yeah, 2D.
So, yeah. So the goal is shoot shit, pick up bullet, shoot more shit, pick up bullet, shoot more shit, drop down to the next level, shoot shit, pick up bullet. See where we're going here? There's 3 levels. There's a couple of floors to each level. When you defeat all the enemies on a floor, the floor caves and you drop down to the next floor. Thankfully, there are little exclamation points pointing down. So if you are about to finish off a floor and the floor is going to give way and you drop down, you can kind of figure out where you need to be so that you don't drop down directly on top of an enemy and get your shit wrecked.
Because there are not that many iframes in this game.
There are not that many. So avoid the exclamation points because those are where you're going to get your shit wrecked at. It can be really difficult. It took several tries before I hit the second floor. And they know it's so difficult that they literally made the achievement for reaching the second floor called "You're Getting Better." And I screamed at the TV, "No, I'm not. I'm not getting better." I am getting better because I can consistently reach floor 3, but then immediately that first worm just fucks up my couch.
Mm. Yeah, those worms are dicks.
The bitch moves fast. So yeah, it's surprisingly difficult, but it is also a lot of fun, and I found myself voluntarily picking it up to play and trying to beat it today. I was playing Cozy Grove, my time off today.
Shocker.
And I needed to wait an hour to get a package. And I was like, God, what am I going to do? I already have all my shit for today in Cozy Grove. So then what I did was load up Gut Whale and go get my shit wrecked in it for an hour. Still haven't beat it. I have 2 achievements.
Drop it, bitch!
Basically, Rattalaika owes me a refund because I didn't get an easy completion.
Oh, God. Well, you didn't pay for this one, so you don't get a refund. But BX Latino Heat dropping 100 biddies. Thank you so much, Latino Heat. Always good seeing you here, hanging out with us. I know you love the music at the end, so we will have some good music later on. But Gut Whale, I'm having fun with this one. I heard some people not really like it that much, so I didn't have high expectations going in, but it's fun and it's tough, and I haven't beat it yet myself either, but I got my frog hat.
It's, yeah, the, I thought that the frogs only would make it easier to beat, and those frogs are bastards.
Yeah, especially because you only have one life with the frog hat.
Yeah.
It's fun, though. $5, what do you say?
I say buy it. I had a lot of fun with it. I'm determined to beat it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, next up is 0 Degrees, developed by Nerd Games, Kiddo Dev, and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft. Released May 19th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $4.99. The snow-covered wonderland of platforming action awaits in 0 Degrees, a chill puzzle experience for players of any age or skill level. Take control of a bundled-up pixel art climber as they make their way across ice fields, up frosted peaks, through dark caves, and over treacherous pitfalls. Help them survive mysterious hazards and overcome brain-teasing obstacles that span 40 unique levels. Cole, tell us about 0 Degrees.
This game is also surprisingly difficult. I had a couple of levels that I got stuck on for a little while. So the concept here is you can move blocks around. You have 5 blocks in your arsenal that you can shoot and basically climb on top of. And you need to use those to overcome different like spikes and gaps and things of that nature.
Hit switches.
Yeah, it's a puzzle platformer in that capacity, and it does it fine. Eventually, you get an extra ability, too, where you can freeze the blocks. That is where shit gets difficult. Because then it becomes a timing game of, can I time it to, make the blocks land where they need to. And that's how come I got stuck. But yeah, it looks fine. It's very white, very blue. pixel aesthetic. It's not my favorite. It's not the worst thing in the world. But it looks fine. And it's a challenge. It was far more of a challenge than I was expecting. 40 levels. When you beat it, you've beat it. There's literally no extra. This is one of those rare East Asia Soft games where you have to play through the whole game if you want all them achievements, but it's not so difficult that you can't, as long as you just take your time with it. The levels are timed. I assume they were expecting speedrunners out there. That's not me, and I don't give a fuck, and there's no there's no punishment or reward for being quick or slow.
Yeah, there are no, like, S runs or anything like that. It's just, literally just beat the game.
Yeah, if you just... I'm thankful for it, though. Like, I didn't want to be pushed into trying to beat a level to get a certain score or stars, points, or whatever. I just like that it was, did you do it? Good job. Next. And that's all you need sometimes. It's just perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So I had a good time. I played it at like 2 a.m. and I just sat back with my feet up and was rolling through it. And before I knew it, I had beat it and had a good time doing it.
Cool. Well, $5 on 0 Degrees. What do you say?
I give it a buy it. It's a solid puzzle platformer.
There's some good $5 games this week.
Yeah. I'm not mad at any of them. I sat down one night and went through like all of our little, $5 game stash for this week and was like, I walked out of there with 4,000 gamer score and it took me maybe 2 hours to do it. And I was like, wow, this was a good week. I'm not mad about any of this.
Well, there's another cheaper game to talk about. That is called Chess Knights Shinobi, developed by Minimal Games, published by Cubite Interactive, released May 19th on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch for $3.99. Using Chess Knights, you need to move around the board until you reach the squares where your other pieces are held prisoner, then come back to the safe zone without being captured by enemy pieces to rescue all your pieces. A lot of pieces in there. Cole, tell us about Chess Knights Shinobi.
So the developers of this game are the same ones who did Knight's Retreat.
Yeah, they've done a bunch of chess-related games.
They really love these chess games. Like, I was looking on Steam, and there's, like, a Vikings one, and there's a couple more ninja-themed ones, and I was like, God damn, they really like these moves of the knight.
Ah, shit. Well, I just fucked up.
It's good as well. Like, it's really...
I just fucked up. I just disconnected the call and accidentally called Aki.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I jumped back real quick. So start that sentence over, because I'm a fuck up.
Which sentence? I talk fast.
Just the most recent one.
These guys make a lot of these games. Did that part get caught?
I don't remember.
Wow.
Yeah, you were saying that the Minimal games, they have a niche that they do a lot of chess related.
They do, and there's like Viking ones and all kinds of shit now on Steam. I assume all of those are eventually going to find their way to Xbox, and I'm not particularly mad at any of it. I had a really good time with the game. I had a good time with Knight's Retreat, so I wasn't surprised that I enjoyed this one too. Excuse me. I like the challenge of only being able to move in an L shape, but they do a good job of highlighting which actual pieces on the board you can land on. So you don't have to be particularly good at chess. The only thing that I would actually ask for is if you're going to move a piece, it highlights where you're going to land. I would like for it to show if that is in the path where something can attack you. You can move and then press back if you fuck up, which I did a lot. But I would like to just have some kind of heads up preemptively before I move that, hey, if you land here, you're going to get your shit wrecked. That would be nice because sometimes it can be a little hard to tell. They do give you the freedom of like moving the camera and rotating and the board and everything. All that is really smooth and well done. So I lost my train of thought again.
Proud of you.
I know. I'm tired.
We're doing good tonight.
I know.
This show has been flawless. Just nothing but perfection, top to bottom.
I would say that despite my ability to not hold a sentence in my brain for more than 3/10 of a second, the show did have an uptick in quality after Jacob left.
Very true. That's very
so
true.
So I'm okay with that. But yeah, I these games, like the only thing I could possibly ask for is just some kind of highlight to let me know if I'm going to get my shit wrecked before I make the jump. Other than that, I think they're really good. They're odd and kind of niche, but they're so cheap that if you like any kind of chess game at all, you're probably going to have fun with it. And even if you're like, I don't think I like chess, then you're like, if you like puzzle games, then you're going to be good there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So $4, your verdict?
Yeah, give it a buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we got to get Aki in here. So let's add her to the call. Hopefully it crashes her computer, which she said it might. So it'll crash her computer and then nothing crashed.
It worked.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, fuck.
It's a fucking miracle. It worked.
Aki, how are you doing?
Better now that it didn't crash. No, you don't get it. This is the first time where I've joined one of these in like a month and a half where it hasn't immediately crashed.
Big Adam in chat saying, I mean, do people not like chess? I mean, people may not find it the most entertaining thing, but do people really hate it? I don't know. I love chess.
I don't think people hate it. I don't think people hate it. I just think that lots of people find chess boring or don't know how to play it.
Yeah.
I will say, during the power outage when we got hit with the ice storm, I taught number three how to play chess. Not my brightest idea because that's all we did for the next 3 weeks. So by the end of that, I was really close to hating chess.
If you know how to play chess, why do you need the game to tell you where you're going to get your piece taken?
Because you should know if you play chess. It's not the same rules. Like, it's not a square board. You're not playing chess. You just have the pieces are limited to moving the way that chess pieces move. But the board is not square. Like, so sometimes something is moving at a diagonal, and depending on how you have the camera, you may not be able to tell that the diagonals are lined up.
Oh, can you not just get an overview from top down?
I mean, you can.
Play that way, you goober.
But because there's... Okay! There's, like, elements of hiding in grass and stuff, so it changes.
Get good, Scrub. Get good.
Anyway, we got one final game to talk about tonight, and it's actually some DLC. We're going to be talking about Zombie Army Trilogy, or Zombie Army 4, not Zombie Army Trilogy, Zombie Army 4 Season 3. Developed and published by Rebellion, it released May 4th on all platforms for Zombie Army 4 for $34.99. Zombie Army 4 Season Pass 3, including 3 additional levels, new character outfit bundles, new weapon bundles, new skin packs, new headgear bundles, and charm packs. Aki, what all is there so far for Season 3 of Zombie Army 4?
Well, there's a bunch of charms, and I believe a new character or two, I think, because in all of these, you get new skins for characters, and a couple of them, you actually get brand new characters even. And then there's a bunch of skins you get, and there's some really cool ones. And then you get missions, three different missions that have various amounts of levels in them. Usually they have 4. Right now you only have access to the first mission, which is sad. And it only has 1 level, which was kind of shocking.
Well, that's so far. I mean, it just launched. The Season Pass 3 just came out. So more content is going to be coming.
Yeah, but I don't think they're adding new levels into each mission. I think it's like you get mission... Right now it's 7, 8, and 9 is what you're going to get. But like in Mission 7, I don't think you're going to get like, oh, here's level 2. Oh, here's level 3. No,
so you're saying Mission 7 itself is just...
Yeah, is just 1 level long, which is sad. Because most of them are like the main game. You get 4 levels in each mission. This one is a bit bigger, though. It's... So, you know, at least it makes up for not having as many levels just by making it a fucking gigantic goddamn level. All of the season passes, all the missions in them are post main game content. They are all connected by a storyline and they are based on immediately after the events of the main game. So they're not something where you're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to play the season pass. You need to play the game. It makes a lot more sense there. Sadly, I do not have season pass 2. So the story so far has a nice big fucking gap in it.
Yeah, we got season 3 for review. You and I both picked up season 1 separately. We didn't get season 2 though.
Yeah, it's still a bit pricey. With it being $35, that's a bit pricey. but you know, all of them together, that's a lot of money if you're buying all of them all at once, unless they're on some pretty good sales.
Well, ideally, if you were a Zombie Army fan, you just bought them as they came out.
Hopefully, or at least bought the missions, because you can buy the missions themselves as well as the various items themselves. It's just, I assume, cheaper to buy the season pass because that's usually how it works.
Yeah, the missions are $7 each. A headgear pack is 3. Zombie charm is 3. Undercover Marie outfit is 3. A pistol bundle is 4. And elemental weapon skins are 3. And that's a third of the bundle.
Okay, yeah, that already passed so it the adds price up of the bundle.
To some big savings.
Yeah, it does. It's very nice getting those savings. Still real expensive. But in this, what we have access to, because again, it's only 1 mission that has 1 level. Apparently, you were on a Zeppelin in Season Pass 2 at the end, and it crashes. And you and a bunch of people have landed to deal with this facility where they've been pouring out occult energy and creating more zombies. And you're there to fucking stop that shit and be done with all this zombie bullshit once and for all. And for that, you actually have to defeat the base, which is kind of a living thing. It's controlled by an AI. And you're just trying to shut down the AI and then destroy it. I think the level took me probably a little over an hour, but I was also doing all the collectibles and stuff. There's a lot of collectibles in this level. You don't have to collect them, but I like to because it gives extra story and stuff. There's little notes, there's comic books, there's zombie hands that you can shoot, and heroic actions. And the little notes, they just add a little bit to the story, some background stuff. So there are always, lots of them are like notes home from soldiers to people that are still home, or scientific notes, things like that. So it just gives a little bit of making the world feel lived in. But it took me a little over an hour to beat it, just because it's just so big and there's so many points in it where it's survive the ambush. There's like four or five of them in it.
And how long were the was each mission in the first season pass? I'm guessing you played some of the first season pass.
I finished it.
How long were the missions in there? Is mission seven length equal to one, two, or three? Or is it just a bit
not
shorter?
Not quite. It's shorter. It's about half, maybe, the length. And most of that is, most of that length is just because they decided to put a bunch of survival things in this. Most of the other missions do not have a whole bunch of survival stuff in it. Basically, after every one of your main events, you have to survive a gigantic ambush of zombie enemies. So it happens quite a bit. And in matter of fact, in the entire game, the main game, you maybe only had that happen a few times throughout the entire game. So it was a lot of survival. Which is fine. I mean, the whole point of these games is to shoot the shit out of zombies.
Yeah.
And all that is a gigantic horde of zombies and you shoot the shit out of them. I mean,
mission accomplished.
Exactly. Like
Overall, it sounds like if you are a zombie army fan and you have the first two season passes, season three is probably something you already have.
Yeah, probably. I would say so. They probably got it the moment it was even announced. Didn't allowed to be sold.
I would wager that if you don't already have the first two season passes, season three is not the one to jump in with, mainly because the story progression through the DLC. Overall, though, $35 on it. What is your recommendation on season three of this, or should we wait and see how missions 8 and 9 turn out?
I'd like to see how missions 8 and 9 turn out, because if they only end up being one level apiece, that's going to be just really sad compared to what I played of just season pass one. Because as it stands with just playing number 7, it's a lot of survival, and that's not the part of the game that I personally enjoy. I like going around and seeing lots of stuff, and so I like more missions, less survival aspects, but I know there are a number of players who prefer the survival stuff. So it's really up in the air. If we were just to do it now, I wouldn't like it as much right now just because of that.
All right. Well, it's tentatively we'll wait and see on it. When the other missions come out, we'll take another look at things.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Big Adam Fest saying, what about a rating now for the feeling of value at launch and then again when the others drop?
Right now, I'd have to say wait for a sale, because this is all of these are a whole lot of money.
Yeah. $35 a season pass adds up. I would love to see Zombie Army just release a complete edition, but who knows?
Yeah. I personally haven't... From playing Season Pass 1, I didn't feel like that was worth $35. I figured $15, maybe $20, but $35 was a bit much. And this one so far, because again, only one mission and only one level in it, it really doesn't seem like it's worth the price right now.
No.
So, I mean, because like all the Season Passes so far add up to over $100. And that's a lot of money
for DLC.
Yeah.
Says the guy who owns all the Rock Band DLC. So,
yeah, fucking weird.
That is it for this episode. Made it through another one. Thanks, Aki, woo-hoo, for being here, hanging out. Thanks to Jacob for being here, doing his thing as well.
He doesn't
care. Cole, are you still here, or did we lose? Did you just give up and disconnect when Aki joined?
Yes.
I sit here and I listen to her bullshit, including that stupid fucking rant. And Call she of Duty, checks right? out when I fucking show up for like not even 10 minutes. Fuck you, Cole. You cunt muffin.
Jesus. Oh god. Music, we're gonna finish the show with some more Mega Beardo, so we will wrap up with that. And does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Cunt muffins and douche canoes.
God damn.